Radio Prague News. David Rath has been appointed health minister. The Czech government has pledged to buy a controversial pig farm built on the site of a former concentration camp. And the ruling Social Democratic Party has recommended that its candidates in the 2006 general elections be required to sign the Code of Ethics. President Václav Klaus on Friday appointed David Rath health minister. The appointment came after weeks of controversy between the president and prime minister Jiří Paroubek over whether Mr. Rath was a suitable candidate for the post. Earlier this week, David Rath fulfilled the president's condition that he should first relinquish his chairmanship of the Doctors Professional Association. He is the 10th minister to take up the post in the past 12 years and is expected to launch a radical reform of the money-strapped health sector. The Czech government has pledged to buy a controversial pig farm built on the site of a former concentration camp for Romanis. Representatives of Romani organizations have long protested against its presence, demanding its removal or relocation. Although former governments attempted to resolve the matter in one way or another, negotiations always broke down over a lack of funds. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has now told the Daily Lidové Noviny that his government would set aside enough money for this purpose in next year's draft budget. The ruling Social Democratic Party has recommended that its candidates in the 2006 general elections be required to sign the Code of Ethics. The document was drafted and presented to the Chamber of Deputies this week by the chairman of the lower house, Lubomír Zaorálek. It sets a framework for relations between politicians and lobbyists, as well as ground rules regarding the acceptance of gifts by public officials and the practice of hiring family members as assistants. Deputies have been severely criticized for the above practices in recent years, and a code of ethics is believed to have been long overdue. It is now up to individual deputies whether they sign it or not. President Václav Klaus has appointed František Dohnal president of the Supreme Audit Office for a 9-year term. The post has been vacant for 2.5 years, ever since its last president, Lubomír Volejník, died in office. Mr. Dohnal, whose candidacy was proposed by the Christian Democrats, won overwhelming support from deputies in the lower chamber. A former governor of the Vysočina region, František Dohnal, has resigned from all his political posts and left the party in order to avoid a conflict of interest. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Saturday is expected to be overcast and rainy across most of the Czech Republic, with day temperatures between 8 and 12 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up in today's programme, the government pledges that a controversial pig farm on the site of a former concentration camp for Romanis will be removed. We pay tribute to the German fashion publisher who helped generations of Czech women look good during the drab years of communism. And all this week's business news. Stay tuned. The Leti pig farm has proven to be an embarrassment for a succession of Czech governments. In the early 90s, the media revealed that the farm stood on the site of a notorious concentration camp where Romanis were interned by the Nazi protectorate in World War II. More than 300 people, the majority of them children, died there, succumbing to disease in appalling conditions, while a further 800 were sent on to Auschwitz and other death camps. In view of these shameful circumstances, successive Czech governments tried to have the pig farm removed or relocated in favour of a memorial, but failed for lack of funds and political will. Jan Wellinger reports that the current government would like to do more.
It is difficult to think of a more offensive slight to the memory of Romani Holocaust victims than the existence of a pig farm on the very site of a concentration camp. For years, members of the Roma community have protested the presence of the farm on the actual site where Romani men, women, and above all, children died. Cengek Ružička is the son of a Leti survivor.
This memorial to the victims of the concentration camp stands where, for more than 30 shameful years, a pig farm has been operating. You heard correctly, a pig farm.
In April of this year, activists' indignation was echoed by the European Parliament when it adopted a resolution calling for the Czech government to act. Romani representatives like Karel Holomek wholeheartedly agreed it was high time something was done.
I hope that after European Parliament recommendation that this pig farm ought to be removed or destroyed, show our society that it's very, very sad, a very shame situation. I hope that our government finally remove this pig farm, and it will be really memorial of Roma Holocaust in Czechoslovakia.
And he's not alone. Following the EU Parliament's resolution, incoming Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek himself agreed that action was needed, and he pledged his government would make Leti a top priority at last. Now he appears to have kept his word, Mr. Paroubek telling the daily Lidové Noviny on Friday the government will have the necessary funds, earmarking tens of millions of crowns from the draft state budget for the purchase of the farm. The previous government of Miloš Zeman, for example, pledged the equivalent of around $6 million, but it wasn't enough. Can a deal be reached this time? The facility's owner, AGPI, remains open to a deal, so long as the land is exchanged in return for a suitable site. The question still remains over how much removing and relocating the farm will really cost. Some estimates say it could go over $10 million. The government is convinced a deal can be signed for less, but negotiations have yet to begin. Previous governments promised to deal with the pig farm, but only one, led by the right-of-center Civic Democrats under Václav Klaus, was able to establish a memorial nearby. Most agree that it's high time a proper memorial on the actual Leti site was introduced, in memory of and in long overdue respect for those who died. It's clear that members of the Roma community, like Jan Vrba, a Leti survivor, will settle for no less.
I know it was a place of cruelty. Starving children were eating raw cabbage from the fields, and the townspeople of Leti paid no attention to them. Small children were dying on piles of, I don't want to say it, piles of excrement. Leti must be a memorial.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Enner Burda, the founder of the Burda Modern fashion publishing group and one of Germany's most successful businesswomen, died on Thursday, aged 96. During communist times, Burda magazine was one of only very few sources of inspiration for Czech women. Copies of the magazine were circulated readily among Czech women, who made their own clothes based on the magazine's patterns, which were markedly different from those available in Czechoslovakia at the time. I'm now joined by Pavla Horáková. Pavla, what did Burda mean for Czech women before 1989?
Well, Rob, Burda was a household name in Czechoslovakia, and to possess a copy or more of the magazine was really something. People either brought the magazines back from trips to West Germany or had them sent by relatives. Only a few copies of Burda were officially imported to Czechoslovakia, and I remember the long queues outside the shops when, by chance, a particular shop was allotted a few copies. My family, for example, had one copy from 1985 or so, and my mum still made clothes for me from it in 1989, and they were still fashionable and fitted well. Earlier today, I phoned the editor-in-chief of the Czech edition of Burda, Eva Coufalová, who had a chance to meet Mrs. Enne Burda and described her as a charismatic and very charming lady who radiated energy. I asked Eva Coufalová to describe the importance of Burda for Czech women.
V Německu, kde časopis vycházel,
in Germany, Burda was a phenomenon, but I dare say it was an even greater phenomenon in this country, because it was so hard to get, and because it gave Czech women a unique chance to dress the way they wanted. Everyone knew Burda, even the women who did not sew themselves. I believe at that time it was Burda that set the fashion trends here, regardless of the official trends available in the shops.
Objevovaly v omezené nabídce tehdejších obchodů.
Eva Coufalová there. I remember how envious we were when Burda launched a Russian version in the Soviet Union in 1987 at the height of perestroika. At that time, the West German Foreign Minister Hans-Dietrich Genscher reportedly told Anna Burda she had achieved more than three ambassadors before her, becoming the first Western publisher on the Soviet market.
Fascinating stuff, Pavla, but I suppose the copies that circulated in Czechoslovakia were in German.
Yes, indeed, and anyone with any knowledge of German was very much sought after in those days. But there's no need for that anymore, as Eva Coufalová of Burda Praha explains.
Proto také čtenářky moc přivítali, když se Burda v roce 92 objevila.
Our readers welcomed the Czech version of Burda in 1992, and they could read the whole issue in Czech, including the manuals. Every issue included an editorial by Mrs. Burda, and these editorials were very popular with Czech readers, and they often sent us very personal letters for Mrs. Burda, thanking her for the Czech version.
Za to, že Burda vychází i u nás na českém trhu.
This morning I talked to a few women in the streets of Prague, and some said they never stopped making their own clothes according to Burda, despite the fact that there is a wide choice of women's clothes in all price categories on the market now. The editor-in-chief of Burda Praha, Eva Coufalová again.
Burda vlastně ženy přiměla k tomu, aby
Burda turned sewing from a bare necessity into a hobby for Czech women. It is a very creative leisure time activity. It's great to receive letters from young girls saying they were taught to sew by their mothers who learned from Burda. We even have men readers who send us photos of their outfits and take part in our competitions. Burda has had an enormous influence on Czechs, also thanks to Mrs. Burda, who always emphasized the importance of creativity.
And that was Eva Coufalová, the editor-in-chief of Burda Praha magazine, and my thanks to Pavla Hráková. You're listening to Radio Prague, the station that never goes out of style. And Brian Kennedy joins me in the studio now for all the latest business news.
Thanks, Rob. The Czech National Bank caught the financial markets by surprise in announcing that interest rates would rise a quarter point this week to 2.0%. Bank Governor Zdeněk Tuma said the board was concerned about inflationary pressures, in large part due to soaring global oil prices. The Czech National Bank now forecasts inflation of 3 to 4.4% over the next year. Interest rate decisions by the National Bank generally influence the economy with a delay of 12 to 18 months, and Finance Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said that inflation was under control and the rate hike was therefore premature. Several large commercial banks have already reacted to the central bank's move by raising their mortgage rates.
The minimum wage in the Czech Republic will be increased by 6.6% as of January, a spokesperson for the Labour and Social Affairs Ministry has said. The ministry plans further increases in July 2006, when the minimum wage is to grow by another 6.2%, according to a government proposal. The minimum monthly wage will be 7,660 crowns, or $311, compared to the current 7,185 crowns. The minimum hourly pay is to grow to 45.2 crowns, or just under $2. After the second increase, the minimum wage is to reach the equivalent of $3.3.
The U.S. software giant Microsoft and Czech government agency CzechInvest have announced plans to open an innovation center in the Czech Republic this January. The center would help Czech university graduates hone their IT skills and provide them with work experience in developing new programs on the Microsoft platform. Tomáš Born, head of strategic products at CzechInvest, told the ČTK news agency that the main goal of the center is to attract software development projects, as outlined in the agency's new ChipInvest project.
The Netherlands is considering opening its labour market for individual new European Union members next year, and the prospect of Czechs gaining access seems hopeful, Dutch Foreign Minister Bernard Bot told journalists in Prague. Some 1,500 Czechs were employed in Holland last year, and fewer than 1,000 found jobs there this year, Czech Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda said, in arguing that Czechs are not a threat to the Dutch labour market. Currently, Britain, Ireland and Sweden are the only old EU members to have fully opened their labour markets.
And finally, people who have unresolved restitution claims to land or property here have until the end of this year to file their claims. The centre-right opposition Civic Democrats on Tuesday failed to extend the restitution deadline by another 4 years, largely due to opposition from the Social Democrats and the Communists. The extension by 4 years was part of a proposed amendment to the law on land.
Well, it's time now for this week's edition of The Arts, and Pavla Horáková speaks to best-selling US author and faithful Radio Prague listener Robert Fulgham.
The American writer Robert Fulgham, the author of such bestsellers as All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten and It Was on Fire When I Lay Down on It, enjoys huge popularity among Czech readers, and his books always rank very high on the list of bestsellers in this country. Robert Fulgham is now in the Czech Republic, promoting the Czech translation of the second part of his novel Third Wish, which is described by the Czech editor as a pentalogy in three volumes. When Mr. Fulgham came into our studio, I asked him first to explain that rather complicated phrase.
Well, it all happened because my Czech editor wanted to publish the novel as it was written. So while someday in English it will appear in five sections, here the first two sections were in a volume and now the second two and then the final. So it's only confusing because of my editor wanting to do it now, so...
I understand now. And the first two volumes of Third Wish have been published in Czech, and the third one is due out next year.
Yeah, in April.
In April next year. And the first part was the first ever commercial publication of the novel before anywhere else in the world. Now, how did that happen?
Well, it's again because of my Czech editor. She had published all my other books translated from English publication. And she heard I was writing a novel, so she said, I want to see it before you finish. So I sent her the first two sections, and she said, I want to publish them now. And I said, the rest is not finished, but she said, no, no, it will be finished. And so it was because of her enthusiasm that it happened this way. And for me, it's been a lot of fun. I'm thinking, what if it ends terribly and she doesn't want to publish it? But I'm finished now with it all, and she wants to publish it all, so we're okay.
You enjoy enormous popularity in the Czech Republic. Mm. Now, I'm sure you must have been asked this question countless times, but what do you think it is about your writing that fascinates the Czechs specifically, or what is so close to the Czechs' heart?
Mm. Well, when I first came 10 years ago to visit and see why my books were so well, an editor who worked for another publishing house said it's because my translator is a better writer than I am. So apparently my Czech translator knows how to take my words and make them good for the Czechs. A more serious answer is that while I acknowledge that there is lots of trouble and evil in the world, I tend to talk about what everybody sees that is evidence that there is also good things to see in the world. I'm always saying to people, the news of the world is not in the newspaper. That's the bad news of the world. The news of the world is it's a beautiful day in Prague today. Don't miss that. So I think there's an optimism, and I'm very serious, but I have a sense of humor. And I think the combination of speaking the truth but finding a reason to laugh is appealing.
Maybe a certain sense of irony.
Yes.
I think it seems to me very similar to the Czech sense of irony.
Yes, and, my sense of humor apparently is Czech.
How many times, actually, have you been to the Czech Republic?
Four times. This is the fourth, and I will be here again in the spring.
Are you in touch with your translator, and do you discuss puns or allusions to American culture, for example?
It's very unusual for an author to know a translator. I don't know why this is, but so he's one of the few that I know, but we have become very good friends, and we like language and like words a lot. So he always feels free to ask me back and forth, which again is unusual. I only know personally one other translator, which is my Greek translator. And last year, my Greek translator met my Czech translator, and they talked to each other in English, which was fun for me to listen to.
Now, back to Third Wish. The first part of the book came out here last November, and it was nearly impossible to get it before Christmas as a Christmas present. You probably know the sales of your books in this country. How do they compare to other countries, I mean, outside the United States?
I know you will find this hard to believe, but one of the reasons I like my Czech publisher is we never talk about these things. I am very honest in saying to you, I have no idea how many books of mine have been sold in the Czech Republic. We never talk about this. We talk about what's in the books a lot. I'm not sure they know either. But it's one of the reasons I like coming here, because the publisher is more about ideas than about success and making money. I have no idea, for example, where I am on the Czech bestseller list. We never talk
very
about
high.
It, but we never talk about this. So they are very special people in that respect.
Are you familiar with Czech literature or film? And do you have any favorite writers or filmmakers?
Well, I know most of the Czech writers who've been translated into English. Kretzky and Kundera and Kafka and the new and the old. The Good Soldier's Wreck was the first one I read. But I'm very, very fond of Czech film. I have seen a lot of Czech film. My Closely Watched Trains is one of my all-time favorite. But my personal most recent favorite is the last film that the actor Brodsky did. And the title in English is Autumn Spring. But I have seen that over and over. I want to be that kind of mischievous old man. I'm sorry that his life ended the way it ended, but the film, it was very inspiring to me.
And this is a very busy week for you, book signings, online chats, interviews, even a TV talk show. Do you find, during your stays in the Czech Republic, time to stroll around Prague like a normal tourist or see some more of the country?
Well, not as much as I would like. They keep me very busy. But next spring, I'm going to come and spend a month and wear a mask or a bag over my head and go around. But this time we have gone to Brunov and we're going to Ostrava, and I will see more of the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm. And one last question. Before we started the interview, you mentioned that you listen to Radio Prague.
Yes, I have a satellite radio in the United States, and I listen to the English language broadcast, so it must be you. I have heard your voice in the middle of America. I think that's so amazing. The world is so small, you know.
Isn't it? Yeah. Mr. Robert Fulgham, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for yours.
Pavla Horáková in conversation there with US author Robert Fulgham in this week's edition of The Art. And if you didn't manage to catch all of that program, you can, of course, listen once again on the internet. Our address is www.radio.cz. You'll also find all our programs in sound and text at that website. If you've got anything to say about that interview, or indeed any of our programs, then why not drop us a line? Our postal address is Radio Prague, 12099 Prague 2, or send us an email, of course, english@radio.cz. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll have a repeat of our popular ABC of Czech language series. This week, Pavla looks at the world of wild animals. That'll be followed by Magazine, all these this week's weird and wacky stories. And, of course, another chance to hear One-on-One, our interview programme, this week with longtime Radio Prague staffer Nick Carey, who's leaving for new shores in the United States. That's all we have time for here at Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Do tune in again soon.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27. Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.